Last year, the Chicago Lyric Opera imported a Parisian production of Handel's opera about passion and magic, Alcina. Our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, thought it was one of the best opera productions he'd ever seen. A live recording of the original Paris performance, with most of the stellar cast Lloyd heard in Chicago, has now been released by Erato. Here's Lloyd's review.
In opera, so many factors have to go absolutely right. Singing, conducting, stage direction, scenery. It's almost by definition doomed to failure. So when an inspired production comes along, you have to be especially grateful. That was the case with Canadian director Robert Carson's version of Handel's Alcina that I was lucky to catch in Chicago last year. Alcina is a sorceress, a latter-day Circe, who enchants men and transforms them into animals. The twist in Handel's opera is that Alcina falls in love with one of her victims, the knight Ruggiero. But Ruggiero has a fiancé, Bradamante, who doesn't give up. She follows him, disguised as a man, to Alcina's Bower of Bliss, where Morgana, Alcina's attendant, falls in love with her at first sight, thinking she's a man. In one of director Carson's most inspired scenes, Morgana sings a love song to Bradamante's jacket, which is hanging on a chair. Morgana kneels on the chair and wraps the empty sleeves of the jacket around her. She even slaps a sleeve when it tries to touch her improperly. The phenomenal French soprano Nathalie Desaix sings Morgana. Handel operas disappeared for more than a century and a half after their first successes. The 19th century, with its insistence on realism, couldn't handle Handel's plots about magic and sorcery. But the post-Freudian 20th century found in these implausible stories, as in mythology itself, profound patterns of all too human behavior. The winding corridors of Alcina's palace, like the woods in Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, are like the interior of the human heart. Though Alcina's sacrifice of her power over others when she falls in love is darker and more painful than Shakespeare's comic transformations. At the beginning of the production, soprano Renee Fleming, as Alcina, rules every inch of her domain. When she loses her magic power, the elegant but blank white walls of Tobias Hoheisel's haunting set close slowly and relentlessly in on her, and in perfect time to the music. Handel's aching sympathy clearly went not to the virtuous lovers, but to the defeated sorceress.
Oh!
The 19th century didn't know what to make of the music either. In Handel's long, formal, three-part arias, singers have to repeat the entire opening section. Audiences used to find this repetition merely repetitious. But as the young director Peter Sellers demonstrated in his memorable Handel productions, the repetitions can actually reveal the deepest insights. In the aria we just heard, for example, the repeated music underlines the increasing futility of Alcina's desperate incantations. Of course, no recording can capture the full range of a complete production. But early music conductor William Christie, his period orchestra, Les Arts Florissants, and the magnificent all-star cast perform this ravishing music as if it were actually about something powerful, urgent, and mysterious. And now you don't have to go to Paris or Chicago to hear that.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. He reviewed a new recording of Handel's opera Alcina with Renee Fleming and Natalie Dessay on the Erato label.